taking a very different tact than Gail did. Thanks for letting me present my work this morning. I do have some disclosures about relationships with companies, and further, I will be discussing the off-label use of a product, including both self-swabs and a self-performed POC test, which has not been endorsed or funded by the manufacturer. So trichomoniasis is a very common STI in adolescent women, and the data that I have showing here in the graphs are two population surveys showing the prevalence in light blue, data from the National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health, which is women age 18 to 26, and the NHANES data is the 14 to 19-year-old women with the references at the bottom. And you can see that chlamydia is pretty high in the 4.5% range in these women, trichomonas between 2 and 2.5%, compared to less than 1% for gonorrhea. So there's a lot of trich out there. However, there are several barriers to diagnosing trich, one of which is the pelvic exam, which it turns out that adolescent women don't like to have, and many adolescent providers don't have the facilities to do that. And the next barrier is the wet mount, which is the most common used test to diagnose the wet mount. In my prior work, we showed that using latent class analysis to compare four test methods, that wet mount is not very sensitive, and this has come up over and over again, about 50% sensitive, whereas newer tests such as culture, using the in-pouch culture, is about 83% sensitive, the rapid point of care test about 90%, compared to nucleic acid amplification testing at the top performance, 98%. So there's other good tests out there besides the wet mount. So there are several strategies that we could use to remove these barriers to STI testing beyond the wonderful ones that Gail's already brought up, such as using improved diagnostic tests. Anything in addition to a wet mount would be an improvement. Using a self-obtained vaginal swab to avoid the pelvic exam. And self-obtained vaginal swabs are already proven to be valid for the diagnosis of chlamydia and gonorrhea and trich using a self-swab in either NAT testing or culture. The next item is point-of-care testing, which is a thrust of a lot of research right now, is to have a test that's available at the point of care. And then a new option would be to have self-testing. And what I wanted to do with this study was to examine whether young women could reliably perform a point-of-care test for trichomoniasis on a self-obtained vaginal swab. Now, if I had a reliable reliable point-of-care test for chlamydia, I would have been happy to test that, but we don't have such tests. We have a reliable point-of-care test for trich. Then I was going to compare the accuracy of the self-performed test to the clinician-performed tests and examine whether there's any clinical factors that affect the performance of that test. We recruited sexually experienced young women ages 14 to 22 years from an urban children's hospital teen health center or emergency department. Using a speculum, the clinician obtained swabs for trichomonas testing. These were the rapid point of care test, wet mount culture, and transcription mediated amplification, which is a NAT test. The subject also collected a self-obtained vaginal swab either before or after the pelvic exam, and she performed the rapid point of care test herself. So this is the point-of-care test that we use. It's a lateral flow device that detects trich membrane proteins, similar to a rapid strep test or a pregnancy test. We gave the participants verbal and written instructions, and the essentially it's about five steps. First, they put some fluid into a little test tube. She inserts her swab, swirls it around, withdraws the swab while pinching the tube to withdraw the moisture, drops the test strip in, and then reads whether it's positive or negative, whether there's one or two lines. And that whole process takes about 10 minutes. And then actually the research assistant would go in and look at her test result, and the girl would record what her impression of her test result, and then the research assistant would confirm what the test result was. And for all our analyses, we used the girl's impression of her test result, and we used the clinician point-of-care test results, and we compared that to true positives, which we defined as either a culture-positive test or TMA-positive with two sets of primers. We calculated sensitivity estimates and 95% confidence intervals. This is a flow diagram, and this is the, I'm sorry for this horrible slide, tiny font, but I tried to fix it a million times. Recruited about 274 young women, and of those, 247 completed both tests, We didn't have culture results for some of them, didn't have TMA results for some of them. Our final population was 209 women who had all three test results available. And of those, 51 were true positives, and that is about 41 who were culture and TMA positive, an additional 9 who were TMA positive by 2 primers, and 1 who was culture positive but TMA negative. So the subjects in this group, about half were under 18. The majority were African American. About a little over a third were using a hormonal form of birth control. 93% reported multiple partners in the previous year. 58% had Medicaid. About 74% had elicited vaginal symptoms. And I will tell you, if you ask a teenage girl, do you have vaginal discharge or itching, she almost always says yes. So they didn't come in with a chief complaint of vaginal discharge or itching, but when we systematically asked them, they almost all had it. And the 51 out of the 209 is a 24% prevalence of trichomoniasis. So as we like to say, do not come to Cincinnati for a hookup. So first of all, to look at the results of the self-testing, is it feasible? Yes, all 209 women correctly performed her point-of-care test. And then over 99% interpreted that test correctly. As I said, the reading was confirmed by the research assistant. There were 2 women who had a positive test result who falsely identified the test result as being negative. And the comments from both of them were, oh, well, I kind of thought it might be positive. But they wrote down negative. So we like denial. And I'll explain the 9 women with discrepant results in this slide. So these are the exact numbers. And you can see that overall, the agreement percent agreement is very high between clinician and self-testing, and a good kappa value. And we have these 5 women who reported that their self-test was negative, but the clinician test was positive. That includes the 2 false negatives. And then the other 3 women all had secondary tests, either the TMA or the culture, that were positive. So those were all true positives. And then we had 4 women for whom the self-test was positive, but the clinician test was negative. 2 of those 4 were confirmed by a secondary method. So they were true positives. And the additional 2 were potential false positives on the clinician, on the self swabs. And those could be either due to sampling error, the patient got a better sample than the clinician, or that the test itself was imperfect. And this is our overall results for all of the tests that we did. And as you can say, it's kind of been a theme today about the wet mount doesn't work very well. Culture, the self point of care test, and the clinician point of care test are all very close to 80%, all 3 of those using the what we were calling the true positives, either culture positive or 2 TMAs. And I did include both of the TMA, the ASR, and the research use only primers there. And you can see they were a little bit discrepant, with a little bit more false positives in the first go round, leading us to use the standard of 2 primers at the end. Now, because most people don't have TMA out there, and some people may question whether you should use culture, which is the current gold standard, I just wanted to show you how the self point of care test and clinician point of care test compared to culture. In the 42 culture positive infections, the self and clinician tests picked up over 90% of those infections, and these were not statistically significant from each other. So point of care was as good as culture in this population. Next, we wanted to see if there were any clinical factors that affected the performance of the test. So we looked at what was related to having a positive point of care trick test. And you can see on the left-hand side a list of things that it was not associated with. But it was related to, we had a higher proportion of women who were recruited from the emergency department who had an amine test that was positive, or who had an abnormal vaginal pH, that is a pH greater than 4.5. And those women were more likely to have a positive point of care test than women without those factors. So then we stratified the sample by those factors. In addition, we also went back and looked at those vaginal symptoms, present or absent. And we didn't find any difference in the sensitivity of the self point of care test by any of these variables. And potentially that means that the self point of care test might be able to be used for screening as well as for diagnoses. So in conclusion, a self-obtained vaginal test and self-testing, patient-performed self-testing, are feasible and reliable to diagnose trichomoniasis using a point-of-care test. When the women used their own self-test, they detected as many infections as a clinician point-of-care test, as many infections as culture, and twice as many as wet mount. And there was rare misinterpretation of results. So we believe that incorporating a self-performed point-of-care test into routine practice could increase the identification and treatment of trichomoniasis. Self-obtained and self-performed point-of-care STI tests in general, not just trich, but others, if they were to be developed, could be used in non-clinical settings. Point-of-care test is important because it allows immediate counseling and treatment, and self-testing encourages responsibility for self-care, similar to what Gail was talking about, of empowering teenagers to take responsibility for their own sexual health. And these strategies are really important to reach the vulnerable young women that I take care of, which are adolescents. I'd like to thank my colleagues at Cincinnati Children's, Adolescent Medicine and Emergency Room, and Epi and Biostats, of course, Johns Hopkins Medical Institutions, my illustrious partners standing in the back there, and our funding. And thank you all. I'll be happy to answer any questions. Yes.
Is this CLIA-waived right now, or have they not gone through that process?
Yes, it is. Okay. The rapid test is CLIA-waived. It's not approved for self-collected swabs, and it's not approved for the patients to do it themselves. But yes.
How are the women instructed to do the self-test? Was it verbal instruction or written instruction?
The question is, how were the women instructed? We actually took the PDF of the product insert, that you would give to the medical providers, and we just simplified the language. We used those pictures similar to the picture that I just had, and we had that laminated in the room. But before the RA left the room, she gave sort of a verbal introduction to how to do the test. Put the drops here, put your swab in, blah, blah. And then she left the written instructions. She left the room and then came back in. And the girl recorded her result on a form, and then the RA would come back in and look at the stick and look at those results. Yes, in the back.
What's the cost of the point-of-care test?
I think that it is around the $10 mark. It depends on who orders for you and all that kind of stuff, and they come in like batches of 25s, but somewhere in that range. And it's reimbursable. My business director, we added it on as a clinical desk test because he found that the reimbursement was higher than the cost. So so we were able to add it as a clinical test. Yes, Gail.
Where would you envision this, self-collected, self-administered test be offered? I mean, is that something that you want them to buy at CVS, like home testing?
Yeah, I have always dreamed of walking down the street waving STI tests in the air, but people have told me that it's not going to go very far. So I think I would like it to be something that a woman could ask for at her doctor's office. There was a really neat article a couple years ago about providing emergency contraception to teenagers in advance of the next time they would need it. And I think of that as a really neat angle for using a point-of-care test, having it available at the CVS, using it in non-clinical settings, where girls are being seen and who don't want a pelvic exam and the provider can't do one and you don't have a microscope and those kind of things. I think everybody should be doing it. In fact, I brought some. No, I'm kidding. Other questions? Thank you very much.